What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
It's What the Fuck Again. 101st episode. You guys had fun last week. Hopefully. Now we're back to bitching and moaning and exposing the wrongs of the world, aren't we, Jillian?
It's not just always wrongs. I mean, we do discussionary stuff, and it's not always bitching and moaning. It's been like that.
Usually with me, it is.
Next week I will, like, unless something else comes up.
Jillian's all ramped up for a certain topic.
Let's tell them. They can look forward to it. For anybody who's been following the new Xbox system with the launch, and we've talked about this on the show before when they were discussing certain policies, and of course, that was a while ago. So yeah, since the reveal and all the new information, I've got a lot to say. And
Xbox One.
Yeah, because it's the one in all in one box. And it'll be an interesting show. But we're not doing that this week. We're going to handle a very topical subject, so we actually don't have a dumbest thing, because we want to give this topic a full segment. And
the gravity that it deserves.
And I just want to say this is a very touchy subject. There is a lot of support for, and we are going to handle diplomatically both sides, because there's a lot of information that people don't realize because of the stuff going around.
We're talking about the case of Caitlin Hunt, who is a Florida student who has been charged with sexual battery of a minor between 12 and 16 years of age. What basically happened, and this part is undisputed, she was 17 at the time, and she was engaging in a same-sex relationship, and the same-sex thing is important for later, guys, with a 14-year-old freshman. She was a senior. She was having a sexual relationship with a freshman. The freshman's parents pressed statutory rape charges. She's looking at, what was it, Jillian? 15 years in prison, I think?
She was offered a plea bargain that she did not take that would give her house arrest, and she would have to be on the registered sex offenders list. So she turned that down, and it's a gamble. So now she is facing 15 years in jail, which is the standard. They're not changing the sentence time just because it's same sex. I mean, this is the standard for statutory rape, whether it's same sex.
Yeah, cases like this, the judge has almost no discretion, almost.
And they did cite other cases in various articles where it was a situation of statutory rape and between 10 and 15 years, and then they got out on good behavior. So, I mean, this is not a case of, you know, well, we're going to up the sentence because this is so horrid. This is a normal situation. They offered her a deal where she wouldn't have jail time, but she would have to register on the sex offenders list. So, of course, she didn't want to do that. Nobody does.
You also have the issue, you know, if she truly believes she did nothing wrong, that would be like admitting to a crime you didn't do.
Right. And as a 17-year-old, and I mean, these girls are 18 and 15 now, but at the time it was 17 and 14. And the legal age of an adult for a consenting relationship in Florida is 17. The parents, and I mean, more information has came out about this. And here's the thing. You've probably seen the petitions, the Save Caitlin page, everything like that going around Facebook. The petitions, at least all of them that I've seen, have been a blog entry or something stated by the mother that was basically Caitlin's side. And until recently, when news stories came out, they didn't even release the ages, and it's on the Free Kate page now on Facebook. And I mean, this has a lot of support. There's over 50,000 people that like this page and agree with it. It is said that this would not be an issue if Caitlin was a male.
I disagree with that greatly.
I disagree. I'm looking at this, and from the parents in the video of the 14-year-old, they're an interracial couple. They come out very, I don't know, they don't give that feel bigoted. They say that they spoke with her, told her that, you know, it was wrong to stop dating their daughter. She wouldn't. So she was talked to by these parents and was like, no, I'm dating a peer. The mother of Caitlin has come out and said the same thing. There should be no issue because she's dating a peer. So these parents of the 14-year-old took legal action, as I think any parents would. 14, that's pretty much straight out of eighth grade into high school. And
well,
yeah,
she was
like
a freshman.
Right. And so if you're telling a girl, being like, look, you're 17, you're having sex with my daughter, you're in a relationship, I mean, there's parents that say, you know, I don't want my daughter dating till 15 or 16. That is young. And if the mother of Caitlin is going to argue that it shouldn't be an issue because they're both peers. Okay, well, there's eighth graders that are sexually active. So if an eighth grader had sex with a fifth grader, would it still not be an issue because they're peers? I mean, 14 is
young. Yeah.
That is young. And I'm sorry, maybe that makes me a prude, but if you're 17 and you're having sex with a 14-year-old, she even said that she knew ramifications. This has happened before. You know, it was kind of like, I don't care. You know, I want to do this. And I don't know, guys. I don't think it's an issue of her being gay.
Caitlin's mom is trying to make this into a same-sex issue, that the victim, who obviously we don't know the name, but that the 14-year-old victim, that her parents only disapproved of this relationship because it was same-sex, and that if it had been a boy dating their daughter, they would not have had an issue. They're trying to cloak this in homophobia, and I'm not so sure that it really is. She broke the law. She was of the sexual consent age, and she was having sexual intercourse or sexual relations with someone who was not of consent age. That's the law. She broke the law. So in that regard, I don't see Caitlin as the victim that all these Facebook pages and everything are painting her as. If this indeed was fueled by homophobia, and there's a little bit of evidence to say so, the basketball coach is on record in one of the earlier things talking about how she was kicked off the basketball team because she was engaged in a same-sex relationship with another player, not just a relationship. Right. So I'm saying, but
at the same
there
time,
is a
that's the
small,
coach.
But there is a small element of the homophobia. But I do not think the victim's parents were going, oh my God, you're dating a girl. Well, we're going to try and stop this. I think it's you're dating an adult. We're going to try and stop this.
I mean, they've come out and said that it wasn't about same sex. It was about the fact that their daughter was 14. They asked Caitlin to not be in a relationship with their 14-year-old. Caitlin refused, continued it anyways. And obviously, a 14-year-old's a 14-year-old. You know, can't really be held responsible. The police officer was interviewed as well, had said that, you know, they've had same sex, opposite sex situations of this, and it's still statutory rape. You know, him coming out and saying that the parents weren't like, you know, oh, this girl isn't, you know, having sex with my daughter. I mean, it seems that it was handled in a calm way. I mean, the parent, I don't know how to explain it unless you guys see it. And
no,
again,
I think I know what you mean,
Jillian. There is a chance. Yeah, there is a chance that, yeah, maybe they're putting on a front. Even if it is a situation of, you know, her being gay, which I honestly don't think it is. Obviously, Caitlin's mom is going to be defensive of Caitlin. The laws with statutory rape, I mean, sometimes they're extreme. You've got situations where the age of consent is 18, but they're dating a 17-year-old, and then charges get filed. Caitlin's mom and people are claiming that, oh, well, they waited till Caitlin was of age to press charges. Well, you can't press charges if they are underage, but it's sounding like, you know, they took the steps and was like, you can't date our daughter. Caitlin went against it. You've got situations where even if this was the case of, you know, I don't want you dating my daughter, whether gay, my daughter's too young to date, what have you. This happens in opposite sex couples as well.
Oh,
you've
yeah.
got a girl going out with a guy and it's like, he's too old for you. He's got piercings. I don't like it. We're charging with statutory rape, even though it was a consenting relationship. And you have that with 2 years apart, let alone 14 and 17. And I'm sorry, you guys. 14 is young and legally is not the consenting age. And if you are backing Caitlin and you're a parent, think to yourselves, you know, I mean, I guess there's a lot of parents that don't care and kids have sex and kids are having kids. We see it all the time. You've got 13, 14, 12-year-old girls getting pregnant. They go on, you know, the TV shows, everything. I'm sorry, you know, I think whether you're gay or straight, you should have to uphold the same laws. And even if it is a matter of, in some sort, the parents of the victim do have some bigotry behind it, it's still black and white. Like, it is the law.
And see, that's the point exactly, Jillian. That's the exact point I want to make. One of the reasons that this hit me so hard after we started looking into it and getting the real information, just how much misinformation there seems to be about this case, like those 50,000 likes on the Free Caitlin and whatnot. The issue is these people are just going, oh, look, it's these evil parents who are going against this same-sex couple, and they're ignoring not only the legal aspect, but they're ignoring the fact that in real terms, this was an adult, a legal adult, taking sexual advantage of a legal minor. Why do you think? But why do you think
sexual advantage? Like, if you think, hold on, if you think that, you know, oh, 14-year-olds are going to have sex, it's still the matter. She's still technically a child. And if you're going to talk about, oh, well, with the plea bargain, she would have be a sex offender. It's like that happens in any case, a statutory rape. If a guy gets caught peeing outside even a bar and gets arrested, he goes on the sex offenders list and has nothing to do with sex whatsoever, but because he was peeing outside, he's on the sex offenders list. And this isn't an argument about whether the statutory rape laws are correct or not or extreme. I mean, that's a whole nother subject. Point is, she's being held to the same standards as any adult, any legal adult that's having sex with a minor. Sort of if it was she was 17 and the girl was 16 and, you know, they were both 16 and just turned 17 and the parents were going after her, that would be kind of like, all right, dude, you guys are just being like jerk faces. At the same time, it's still the law. Do I agree with it? Not if you're in the same gear or whatever and you're both consenting. But there are situations where guys have that, where they finally turn 18. And I mean, I keep saying 18 because in my state, the legal age
most
is 18
states, and Florida
it's 17. Yeah, I know, but just so there's not confusion, because so if a guy is 18 and they were dating each other when they were 17, the girl and the guy, and then the guy turns 18, the girl's still 17, they have sex and the parents press charges, it still holds water. And again, this isn't a case of whether it's right or wrong, the statutory laws. It's the point of that this is a law. She's not being held to more rigid standards because it's a same-sex situation.
Then let me ask you something, and this is a little psychological. Why do you think so many people are on Caitlin's side when she clearly, on a legal basis, broke the law? Why do you think so many people are willing to either overlook the facts or didn't go in digging to find the facts? Why do you think so many people are supporting this when I truly believe that if this had been some guy named Jake and the situation was exactly the same otherwise, I don't think anyone would be going, oh, just let their relationship flower.
Yeah, I think so too. And part of it is, and we've talked about this before, especially things that go viral on Facebook. I mean, you've got situations where celebrities die and everybody's so upset, but then they're not actually dead. And you have to check Snopes for things. You've got crazy stories that people don't check
Didn't
up on.
Did Kurt Russell just die a few weeks ago?
Not really, but it was claimed, yes. We're such a society where we see something on Facebook or we see something on social media being posted anywhere. It's, oh, well, you know, that's how it is. And I first came across this and I really wanted to dig deeper. I mean, this is why we didn't talk about it previously when it first came out. I was like, there's got to be, you know, we didn't know all the facts. This was basically a petition and a blog written by the mother about my daughter, Caitlin, is being punished because there was no information about that the girl was 14. There was no information about the parents coming to Caitlin and saying, you know, end your relationship with my daughter. As a legal adult, whether it's same sex or not, you put yourself in that position. And it happens all the time. And I really don't think that this is an issue of her being gay and the parents going after her. And again, even if there is some bigotry behind it, it's still a 17-year-old having sex with a 14-year-old. And
I
truly believe that if it was a 17-year-old guy and a 14-year-old girl, people would not have an issue. And anybody that listens to the show knows that Josh and I are the first people to come out for equal rights. And so I don't know, guys.
But,
I mean, we just
see, Jillian, that's part of my
to...
problem. And I'm not sure if this is the fault of the people who are believing it or the Free Caitlin originators. They, I think, intentionally are using the fact that it was same sex and that they can claim homophobia, especially in Florida, which is one of the has more homophobic hate crimes than almost any other state. I think they're cloaking this in that in a way to try and misdirect the facts. I really believe that, but I'm a little more cynical than you are.
If it was a case of homophobia, police and judges were in on it because they're saying, oh, well, it's extreme, it's 15 years. She would not have been offered that plea bargain. If it was a case of homophobia and the courts and everything against her, they would not have offered her no jail time. And I mean, with any situation of statutory rape, if you're found guilty, you're on the sex offenders list. So this isn't a situation, it's more so, okay, well, you can do this or you can go to trial. If you go to trial, be aware the maximum sentence is this, should you be found guilty, and then you also have to be on the sex offenders list. So,
but there's one thing that did really anger me about this, and that was that Caitlin's press conference, how Caitlin was saying that this whole thing has ruined her life and it's ruined her chances to go to a good college and all this. And I'm thinking, okay, fair enough. That's fair. But you made this choice. You knew you were of legal consent and you still
okay, hold on, hold on there. I will say in a mutual relationship, you know, especially between whether it's boy and girl, girl and girl, you know, 17 still in high school, you know, it's like, you know, but you don't think anything's going to happen to you. So I get it. That was your girlfriend. You guys were consenting. However, she was 14. At 17, she probably didn't see anything wrong with it. She knew the ramifications, but it was like, oh, when you're young, there's adults that don't think anything's going to happen to them. Be like, oh, well, I know this, and it's fine. This is going to ruin my life, and I didn't even do anything. All I did was pee outside. And, you know, so, I mean, I get that. I don't think she's unjustified in being upset, and I don't think her statements are like, oh, poor me. I mean, I get it. This sucks. At the same time, I lose some sympathy with the fact that the girl is 14, but in a situation where you're in high school with somebody, I can see where that can happen. But I really think after the parents of the daughter came to her and was like, you need to stop this. You're 17. She's 14. And Caitlin didn't listen. It's more so of a matter, kids are going to do what they want. And she's of legal age of 17. And it's just, there can be charges against you.
There's one other thing I'd like to find out about this case. And obviously they can't show the victim's face or anything or even use their real name. I'd like to know what she thinks about this, whether she thinks Caitlin is being railroaded, whether she, I mean, she legally has no say in whether charges are filed or how the state proceeds. But I would be curious to know where she stands on this.
Certainly she could give insight on the matter of, my parents yelled at me for being in a same-sex relationship versus just being in a relationship or sexual relationship, rather. I also think that in the case of 14, it can go either way. You can think, you know, I mean, kids, I'm in love. You've got eighth graders and sixth graders that think they're in love and they have sex. The point is, you know, you're an adult. You have a responsibility. This is a child. So it could have gone either way of, no, I'm in love with her. I want to be in a relationship. Or it could be a situation of, I really like her. We were together. She was pressuring for sex, because that is a thing. I mean, you've got people of the same age, 16, 17, 18, where one of the people are pressured for sex. If it's a guy and girl relationship, usually it's the guy pressuring the girl. But, you know, it does go either way. But statistically and normally, it's the guy that pressures the girl. In a same-sex relationship, you can have the same thing. You can have one partner pressuring the other one to have sex. When you've got a 14-year-old and a 17-year-old, the 17-year-old is most likely
the alpha,
more developed in that way. And the hormones. Not to say, again, I'm being diplomatic here. I'm not saying the 14-year-old was pressured. It is a possibility. It could also be a possibility of the 14-year-old wanted to. We don't know, but that is a factor as well. So I'm sure when it goes to court, they'll have the 14-year-old girl testify. It may not be released or anything like that, but I'm sure that will be a factor. But honestly, it doesn't look good for Caitlin, because the law is the law. They offered her a plea bargain and she didn't take it. Yeah, I'm equal rights. If this was a case of, you know, the parents being completely bigoted, I would say, well, that's wrong. That's the only reason they went after her. But at the same time, at the end of the day, it comes down to a 17-year-old having sex with a 14-year-old.
We got to wrap this up.
This is so touchy, though, and it's unfortunate. But The blogs and petitions that were going around were one-sided from the mother. On the Free Kate Facebook page, it now has the information that's come out about 17 and 14, and now they're 18 and 15. I don't know if it was always there or if it was added, but there is a factor if that's said on the Free Kate Facebook page, and there are 50,000 people that are for this.
Because I think a lot of people want Caitlyn to be the victim rather than legally the victimizer. So I think people are voting on the liking the Facebook page and whatnot because
either that or they're not
gives
reading
them
it and they're just right. They're just going off of the blogs and the little stuff that's been going around, and then oh, the Free Kate Facebook page is up, and you know they click on it. And I'm sorry, guys. Like I said, I am completely for equal rights. At the end of the day, this is a 17-year-old with a 14-year-old, and if this was a boy and a girl, this would not even be an issue.
All right, after Hart, we'll be back, and I'll be the one going off.
1, 2, 3, 4. She walked out with empty arms, machine gun in her hand. She is good and she is bad. No one understands. She walked in with silence, never spoke a word. She's got a rich daddy, she's her daddy's girl.
Well, folks, guess what? We have made it to 101 episodes of What the Fuck, and this is the heart attack portion. I am Hart D. Fisher, and with me is that guy, Josh Hadley.
Funny enough, I was the guy in the first segment, and I'll be the guy in the next segment, too.
Yeah, that's true. You invited me onto your show. It's your show. What the fuck?
Ha! My show.
Did you think we'd make it to 101 fucking shows, man?
In all honesty, yeah. I mean, my other two shows hit 100, and they kind of surprised me. So after that, I went, there's no reason what the fuck can't either.
I love it. I'm having a blast, and it's really given me a real voice to get some shit off my chest that was bothering me. Because I was going to do a whole series, a news division. For people are tuning in new, I own a horror channel, American Horrors. It's the world's greatest uncut horror channel. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it's free to watch at www.filmon.com. And I was going to do a news division that was very, very political, and it was going to be called Real World Horrors, What You Should Really Be Afraid Of. And I realized that people are tuning into American Horrors to have fun. They're tuning in to forget about their bullshit, to get away from the crap, and to have something really intense pull them out of their heads and their concerns. So I realized I really couldn't – it wasn't going to work. It wasn't going to work on American Horrors, at least not yet. And you gave me an outlet to fire off on this stuff, and it's been awesome, dude. In the time that we've been doing this, I've gotten to fucking slap down some plagiarists. I've gotten to slap down some trademark and copyright thefts, and I have had a voice to speak out on some of the insidious practices behind the scenes in the film industry. And dude, this helped me to kill a rock band. I got to go out there and fucking stand up for myself in a way I haven't been able to before, and I got to fucking kill a rock band this year, so I'm feeling really fucking good. You hear me, Gary Way, you piece of shit? Find a new career, motherfucker. Find your own identity, you cocksucking piece of shit.
Let's talk about this week's topic. I know we've always been worked up in the past about how the entertainment industry, CISPA, SOPA, etc., are trying to basically control the internet, for lack of a better term. Now they want to control not just the internet, your computer itself.
That's right, guys. Pretty funny. The tome is called Commission on the Theft of American Intellectual Property, and they've released its 84-page report And it's pretty fucking nuts, guys. The major entertainment corporations in America, all of them, you know what they want to do? These companies want to legalize the use of malware, that's malicious software, in order to punish people they believe to be copying legally.
Now, believe being the operative term.
Believe being the operative term. No one's been convicted of any wrongdoing in a court of law. No one has been judged before a jury of their peers, which is guaranteed to us in our Constitution. No one is even, like, notified. The idea is this report proposes these companies want to be able to – they're taking cues from crime. They're taking cues from crime. They want to be able to use what crooks use. It's called ransomware, where they would lock down your computer – and the only way you could unlock your computer is if you called the police and you confessed your believed crime. Now, that's the opportune point here. These people are going to be judge, jury, and executioner if they have their way. The idea is that copyright enforcers, network strategies, they're completely indistinguishable from, you know, those used by dictators and criminals. The MPAA told Congress they wanted SOPA so bad. And they knew it would work. And why did they know it was working? They knew it would work because the governments in China, Iran, Armenia, Ethiopia, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, Bahrain, Burma, Syria, Turkmenistan, Vietnam, and Uzbekistan, they're all using these things to dominate their citizens. And now they want Congress to legalize extortion tools invented by organized criminals and used on you, me, your kid, your wife, your husband. It's disgusting. And they're lobbying for this right now and spending a lot of money to try to get laws like this passed. And this is exactly what we fight here on Heart Attack and What the Fuck. This is exactly what we try to talk about so you can exercise your rights and defeat these laws, because corporations are making an end run, guys. They're making an end run to own us. They already track us via our smartphones. Did you guys at home know, and I found this out watching goddamn Criminal Minds on CBS, I found this out, that when you buy a new car, and let's say you've got your OnStar navigation, you buy your new Ford, you buy your new Chrysler, you buy your new Jetta, whatever, as soon as you go to hit your button to turn on your OnStar nav, they have you sign like an agreement. And in the agreement, you now give the right to the car company to track everything you do. And with that information, they could sell it to people. They're tracking how fast you're driving. They're tracking where you're going without you even kind of knowing it. And this car company.
You could tell that right from the car commercials. Remember that one OnStar car commercial where the woman flips over and she calls OnStar and the car is filling up with water because it's raining? You know, help me, help me. She never tells the OnStar person where she is. And they're like, we're dispatching an ambulance right now, Mrs. Jones. How did the OnStar person know where she was? Oh, because of the GPS built into the OnStar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude, that's fucked up. Dude,
but
totally
I want to go back to the media industry thing for a second. See, the reason that I was not surprised by this, Hart, was it's not new. Do you remember, and it's funny that this happened because of a Celine Dion CD, do you remember in the late 90s when they tried a new kind of copy protection?
Yeah, I do.
On the Celine Dion CD, that if you even put it in your computer, you didn't have to make even the slightest attempt at copying it. If you put her new CD in your computer, you blue screened of death and it wiped your hard drive. Just in case you wanted to copy that CD.
I remember that, man. I remember that. That's right. I totally remember that. And I thought it was crazy because I listen to CDs on my computer all the time when I'm working. I pop it in the... I'm not an MP4 guy. For people at home, MP3s are compressed. If you're running around with your little iPod and you got nothing but MP3 downloads, you're listening to shit, dude. You're listening to shit. The audio quality of MP3s is fucking garbage. You've been sold a plastic turd. I buy fucking CDs or vinyl. That's what I fucking buy. I don't buy MP3s.
But do you know how the copy protection was beaten on that Celine Dion? They spent millions of dollars, wrecked these computers, got all the bad press, and do you know how easy it was to beat the copy protection on that?
No.
A black dot on a Sharpie. If you knew exactly where to put a little black dot on the underside of the CD, the laser would skip right over the copy protection EXE.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy,
dude. It was
beaten
by a fucking Sharpie.
Real nice. A fucking Sharpie. Ay, ay, ay. This is exactly what we're talking about on every episode. We have been drilling this in. that corporations are using their unlimited political contribution power now. And the whole point of the, quote, right wing getting upset how their IRS was handling the nonprofit organizations, because these corporations are using nonprofit organizations to funnel even more money in. I've been battling this bullshit with them illegally taking out vehicle lanes, busiest streets in my neighborhood. They're trying to put in all this bike lane shit. Well, that's being advertised by some private nonprofit organization. And they did this thing where they went after the IRS and how dare you go after the Tea Party? Dude, it's just a buck. It's a shell game. It's a bullshit game.
But on that note, you've also got, okay, how dare you go after the Tea Party? Well, when one of your major platforms is, we need to topple the government and get rid of taxes, funny how that might attract the attention of the IRS, huh?
Yeah, that might attract their attention. It's funny that the Republicans had no problem using the IRS to harass people for their own gain when Bush was in office. They had no problem with it. This has been a long issue. The federal government has harassed political groups and political speech ever since the FBI was created. That's what they've done, is spy on us. And we already know they're recording every conversation, everything, illegally. It really drives me fucking nuts that more people aren't flipping the fuck out. You know, because I, as a business owner, okay, Time Warner is throttling down my internet. And people at home might go, well, why would they do that? Well, because Time Warner is an entertainment and cable company. And I am an entertainment and television company, American Horrors. And I use their system to deal with my guy, Alki David, at Film On. So Film On is in direct competition with gentlemen like Time Warner, with Hulu. Film On's one of the biggest online places to watch TV, yet you never hear it written about in America because there's a media blackout on it, because it's not owned by an American corporation. So therefore, they're trying to black it out. But it's a great service. It's awesome. And Time Warner throttles me down. They freeze my internet all the time. It just freezes where I'm just disconnected every fucking day, every day. And I really believe it has to do with the fact that I am their competition. And the audience for American Horrors is growing.
I just thought of something, Hart. So you know how a couple of times as we're recording, you know, the recording will be corrupted or it won't record properly, right? I wonder if I could contact the FBI to get their recording of it.
That's a good idea, dude. Somebody says that I should get one of those, what do you call when you file for information? Freedom of Information Act on myself.
I'd like to do that, too, just for the hell of it. I wonder how many redactions there'd be.
Yeah, that would be really interesting because, you know, as a guy who writes true crime and a guy who writes horror, I talk to a lot of people, and doing this radio show, I talk to people from all sections of life. I've been talking to firefighters, police, even like criminals. I've been talking to medical marijuana pharmacy owners about the medical marijuana laws. So I talk to a lot of interesting people. And I think next week we should talk about how the government has been trying to criminalize just that simple act of gathering information to be a reporter. And they're attacking people left, right, and center. And the Obama administration is doing it more than anybody else. But we'll talk about that next week on Heart Attack.
So, Jillian, I live in Wisconsin. You know I've long gone after Scott Imperial Walker, that my fuckhead of a governor in Wisconsin. And you know how I predicted there's no way he's going to win his recall election and he wins by a landslide. With all the anti-woman stuff, there's no way that he's going to get the woman's vote. So more women come out to vote for him in the recall election than they ever have before. Clearly, Wisconsin, I feel anyway, is going the wrong direction. Wisconsin used to be a very liberal state. It used to be a very progressive state. And now I think the Koch brothers and their money coming into it is just destroying the state and trying to completely eradicate the poor and the middle class. On that note, we've got what Scott Walker is trying to do now. Now he is trying to completely eliminate food stamps in Wisconsin. And not just outright going, hey, I want to get rid of food stamps. He is trying to pass, and at the time of this recording, it has not passed both houses yet. But if it does, obviously he'll sign it. We talked earlier about how they wanted background checks for food stamps and that.
And then also basically policing what you can and cannot buy with food stamps to
right.
the extent of processed cheese because it's not healthy.
Exactly. Well, they've gone one step further. They want food stamp recipients to be required to work 20 hours a week at a job to even be eligible for food stamps. So what they basically want is you can no longer be out of work and get food stamps. That you have to go and get a MIC job or you have to go and get a temp job if you even want food stamps. And now there's a lot of people that have come out and gone, well, that's good. Get them lazy people off the food stamp rolls. You know, you hear that from the conservative Republicans all the time. This is something most people don't realize. How the food stamp program, and I can only speak for Wisconsin in this. You're in Illinois. I don't know if that's different. I don't know if it's different in California, Minnesota, whatever. But in Wisconsin, if you are out of work and you are a family of three, you get ballpark $500 in food stamp allotment, okay? Now, that's with no income. Now, if you work 20 hours a week at a $10 an hour job, which is close to the minimum wage, so it's probably what you're going to work, you will be making enough money that of that $500, you'll only make 20 hours a week, $10 an hour, $200 before taxes, you're only going to get maybe $150 take home. Well, that instead of taking away $150 off that $500, they'll take away $400 and you'll only get $100 in food stamps. So you will actually come out behind where you were by working 20 hours a week with this requirement. If the requirement goes through the way it is proposed, it basically will eliminate over half of the people that are currently on food stamps in Wisconsin. It will kick off food stamps because working 20 hours a week, which is the requirement to get food stamps if this passes, will now disqualify you from being eligible for food stamps. Do you see how this is an end run and trying to just completely get rid of the food stamp program in Wisconsin?
Well, yeah, it's basically saying no food stamps, just get a job. And the thing is here, a lot of people, and we talked about this last time when we first discussed the first wave of the food stamp changes coming through. It's not always a matter of people don't want to work. And yeah, there's people that abuse the system. There are people that are just, you know, I'm fine living off the government. There are people that really need benefits.
Genuinely,
and
yes.
You're just assuming, yes, and they're just assuming that with this, like, oh, well, you don't want to work. You have to work 20 hours a week. A lot of people are trying to fucking get jobs out there. And then them saying that, you know, either work 20 hours a week or get like job training and preparation so that you can get a job. That's not even always an issue. There's people that get laid off from good office jobs. It doesn't mean that they're inept in being able to perform their job. It's a situation of the job market sucks. It sucks everywhere. You can go and apply for 5 different jobs and not get one of them. So there are people out there that need assistance, don't have jobs, are actively trying to find jobs. And you're basically saying, well, you have to work 20 hours a week to get assistance when they're out there trying to find a job. That's kind of like saying, okay, well, you need to get this job. But in order to get this job, you have to have experience. But you can't have experience till you get the job. It's kind of that similar
catch-22
situation, which is right, which is also a problem in the job market. So, you know, you've got a lot of support of people commenting and saying, you know, well, good, get those lazy asses off. You know, they need to be self-sufficient and not live off the government. And again, yeah, there's people that don't give a fuck and want handouts. There's people that aren't trying to find work, but there are a lot of people that fall on bad times that do need assistance and actively try to find a job. In the meanwhile, how are they supposed to feed, you know, you've got single mothers that have maybe two or three kids or even one child that's trying to find a job. You've got both parents that may be out of work and also have kids. I mean, you've got so many different situations under this, and people automatically always go to the situation of the person that doesn't want to work and just, you know, wants to live off the government. And that's not always the case. And so when these stringent laws are proposed, you have groups of people who, you know, have jobs and maybe have never fallen on hard times that look down on people for needing assistance of unemployment, food stamps, you know, whatever have you, and they don't get it. You know, you look at the bad apples and you're judging everyone on government benefits on those bad apples, you know, on the people you see. You know, as people, we're very judgmental, but, you know, everybody who just thinks that this is a great idea, you're hurting a lot of people. And even other government officials had come out and said, you guys are screwing over poor and lower class. Like, there's people that need these benefits, but they don't care.
What if, say, you do get this, you know, let's just say a Mick job, Donald's, Walgreens, whatever. What if the employer will only give you 15 hours a week and you're willing to work 20? Then will all of a sudden the state go, you're not working 20 hours a week. You don't get any food stamps. This is the thing.
Yeah.
They not only do they fail to take in that the employers kind of have to work with you on this, but there's also the fact that this is just another way to punish the poor. There's this ideal going around, and you see it everywhere. And this is not just a conservative ideal, that the poor are all leeches, and they're poor because they want to be poor. They're poor because they don't want to work. They're poor because they're lazy. There's this ideal
going.
Nobody
fucking
going,
wants to be homeless and not able to get food. Like, nobody wants that.
Exactly. There's this ideal that is really fiscally wrong that goes around that anybody can be rich. Anybody can be successful. And I'm sorry, that's not true. It's good to tell an 8-year-old you can be anything you want when you grow up. The reality is you can't.
Well, nobody wants to be, you know, a clerical assistant. Nobody wants to be a number cruncher necessarily. Stable jobs, benefits, but they're not always stable. You've got a lot of situations where you get laid off in offices and you try and find another job, but you can't. And on your point of the employer setting the hours, I've worked part-time jobs where I tell them, you know, I want as many hours as you can give me. There were weeks I had 5 hours, weeks I had 10 hours. Yeah, so, I mean, if they're going to place this into effect, okay, first of all, fine. You want everybody to work 20 hours a week, you fucking find them a job then. If you're going to implement this, you give them a job that they are capable of doing. Give them a job that they're capable of doing, 20 hours a week, you know, whatever benefits to help them out that you say will still be there. You know, you got to be looking for work if you're able-bodied.
I'm sorry to cut you off here, but that actually is not feasible whatsoever. Let's say that the 31,000, that's a lower number. It actually is estimated to be upwards of maybe around 37,000 people that will, as soon as this bill is implemented, will lose their food stamp benefits. That's all of a sudden, in the course of one day, putting 31 to 37,000 people on the job market. There are no jobs as it is in Wisconsin.
Well, no,
where are you
going to
come up
I'm
with 37,000 new jobs?
No, I know. I'm saying actively looking for a job, not actively getting a job.
Well, yelling at you. I'm talking about the people who implemented this program. That where do they think all these jobs are going to come from?
With these people who get laid off that cannot find work because the job market is just so tough. And that's the first thing people say. We're like, well, they should be getting a job at McDonald's. It's like, that's nice. McDonald's.
First of all, there are only so many.
Hire them.
Right. But here's something else I wanted to touch on. Scott Walker's spokesman, Tom Evanson, gave this quote that shows just how brutally out of touch and how much they did not think this through that they are going into this with. Quote, Governor Walker's budget is focused on moving people from government dependence to independence, and this reform gives able-bodied adults who receive food share benefits the opportunity to develop their skills and prepare for the workforce, unquote. Now, there are multiple things wrong with that single sentence, Jillian.
Well, I touched on that earlier. With these people that are getting laid off, it doesn't mean that they need job training. They just need a fucking job. It doesn't mean they're not qualified. They can't find a job in their field. Doing job training isn't going to help unless you're going to train them for something above what they're already qualified for.
There's something bigger at play here. There's a certain word used in that sentence, which I quoted, that is... And you know how much the Koch brothers are funneling money to Scott Walker. He's made no bones about that. That's not a conspiracy theory. He's a hardcore, hard right-wing Republican. That word, dependence. Moving people from government dependence to independence. These people, the Koch brothers, the hardcore conservatives, Scott Walker, they are looking at all the people that are on food stamps as leeches. This is not government dependence. These are people that need a little bit of help because Scott Walker eliminated their job by eliminating their unions. So he's basically going, I cost you your job, and now I'm going to cost you all the benefits you want to make up for the fact that I cost you your job. Do you see just how brutally out of touch this is?
I can't understand that there are that many people in Wisconsin unable to vote against this stuff. You know, you've got him winning his vote. And is it just that the middle and lower classes aren't voting? Like, do they not understand how much this is going to affect them? Because I know that people have an attitude. It's like, oh, my vote doesn't matter. It's like, you know, if you get a large group of people, it's like, my vote doesn't matter. It's like, you know what? You all thought it didn't matter. Nobody voted. You're fucked.
Scott Walker won re-elect. He won his recall, which is just sickening. There is that bigger issue that this is yet another attempt to try and push hardcore conservative values into the state and step on poor people. These people are not poor because they're leeches, generally. These people are poor because Scott Walker eliminated their job security.
You're talking about, it says 857,000 people this would
affect. Which is 15% of Wisconsin's population.
Right. So when this was proposed to go into vote, if you live in Wisconsin, I don't know how many people listening here live in Wisconsin, you guys have the power to do something. Write the government, protest something, I mean, to get their attention, because if you stay quiet, they're just going to pass what they want. At least it'll be out there. And I think that...
And that's exactly the point, Jillian. The people of Wisconsin need to stand up against Scott Walker. I know you've been trying to keep me calm and it's been difficult, but the people need to stand up. You guys need to stop accepting this tacit acceptance of he's the governor. He won. Your vote matters. Vote these people out. Find every single member of Congress in Wisconsin that voted for this, which is a Republican-controlled Congress. Vote every single one of them out.
I mean,
tell them that their job is now in jeopardy because they're saying, get out, get off your ass, and get a fucking job. What this program does, what it will do, is it will create a sub-minimum wage slave class in Wisconsin. You have to work. All that money you make, the little bit of money that you do make, we're still going to tax heavily, and then we're going to take that and use it against your benefits, so you cannot win. You can never crawl out from under with Scott Walker's programs. The people need to stand up and vote his ass out.
And here's the thing, with 857,000 people, obviously it's unrealistic to get that many people together, but I mean, what do you think the effect would be if every single person in every household that is affected by this wrote a letter to every single government official, all of the officials in Wisconsin, about this issue? I mean, it would be like Miracle on 34th Street with just fucking piles of mail on each of these people's desks. You know what I mean? It would be insane, and it would make a difference.
Yes, I absolutely agree. That's what people need to do, Jillian. And not emails. mail a letter, because that shows physically, like Jillian just pointed out, when this shit starts piling up on their desks and they're bringing garbage bags full of letters, it'll get it through. Holy shit! There's a lot of people in this state that are totally getting reamed by Walker and his policies.
And again, you're going to have those people who are like, whatever, people are doing it, doesn't matter. But think of the impact. And I know, obviously, not all of our listeners are Wisconsin. I wouldn't even know how to get this out. Hell, I don't even live in Wisconsin, and I'm very passionate about this. Can you guys visualize it? 857,000 letters going to each of these officials, not just one. Huge impact. So
I am sick and tired of the poor being victimized by the rich. This even goes back to the Occupy Wall Street stuff with the one percenters in that. Scott Walker does not speak for the people of Wisconsin. He speaks for the Koch brothers. He speaks for Fox News. He speaks for the conservative right wing. Why do you people keep voting for him?
And you know what? I say go beyond Wisconsin. Like, just post it everywhere. Anybody from any state, have a tagline on the front of the mail or just, you know, something there. So it's just they have all of these letters. So they're not unmarked, but all of these letters with, you know, against food stamp change proposal or I don't know. This thing doesn't have a name. So
it's part of the Wisconsin budget. And see, yeah. That's what he keeps cloaking this in, Jillian. He keeps cloaking this in. We need to do this to balance the budget. The same way he cloaked union busting as, hey, if I don't do this, Wisconsin goes broke. This is the only way to balance the budget. He does this because he's not an idiot. He does this to seem like he's the hero saving the state. And these are necessary things he has to do, but he doesn't want to. I never said he was stupid. I said he was evil. There's a difference. On that note, we're going to wrap it up. I'm all worked up. Usually Jillian's the one all amped up on Monster Energy drink and Mountain Dew.
I'll be the one worked up next week.
Well, where can we find you as you're collating all your Xbox One data?
You can find me usual places, Facebook, Twitter, The Mistress J. Oh, guys, it's been down for a while, but it's back up, our Facebook page for What the Fuck. Go like it, spread the word. There's not a whole lot of people on there, and I know there's more listeners than 200 right now, but it's facebook.com/talkwhat.
And you can find me, 1201beyond.com. You can find all the archived shows there. You can find the other shows there. If you just want to listen to Jillian's sultry voice, you can download some old episodes, 1201beyond.com. You can contact the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. Have a good night, guys.
And a long stem rose. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. Way it goes.
knows that you'll live forever when you had a time or two. Everybody knows the deal is rotten. Old Black Joe still picking cotton for your ribbons and bows. Everybody knows you love me, baby. Everybody knows that you really do. Everybody knows that you've been faithful. Give or take a night or two. Everybody knows you've been discreet. So many people you had to meet without your clothes. And everybody knows. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. That's the way it goes. Everybody knows.
Fuck is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.